Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. We recently attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas. Over a five-day period, this convention brought together over 55,000 attendees, over 1,100 exhibitors, along with featured keynotes and informative sessions focused on topics relevant to broadcasting, media, advertising, and entertainment. There was lots of discussion around both challenges and opportunities facing radio, along with some key takeaways around the critical moment that we are in as radio. We also discussed the industry's One Voice for Radio initiative, which is helping us all to be better together. I had the opportunity to sit down with thought leaders from the industry, and together we talked about their plans for the future and how they are collaborating with the RAB, advertisers, and fellow broadcasters to continue to transform the business. A big thank you to Inco and Benstown for allowing us to have our Radio on Main Street podcast booth set up at the NAB exhibit floor again this year. In the second episode of our series, you will hear the conversation that I had centered around the recently adopted Nielsen modernization effort, specifically the three-minute Nielsen qualifier, with RAB's good friend, the managing director of Nielsen Audio, Rich Tunkel.
Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, president and CEO of the Radio Advertising Bureau, the RAB. And I am joined by Rich Tunkel, who has turned out to be, because we've spent so much time together in the last 8 to 12 months, a very good friend. But Rich, Nielsen has been so busy and influential in resetting measurement for radio. Have you had a chance to catch your breath?
No, I haven't. And that's good. I like it being busy when there's a lot to do. And part of the reason for that is because as the data is coming out right now, as we're recording this, we're in the midst of the debut of the data. It is so important for everyone to get on top of things at a weekly level, what's happening with the audiences so that they can take advantage of the increases as they happen. And so it's going to be an all hands on deck approach. The work was really large going into this. But right now, the data that's coming out of it, we've got to make sure that, you know, it's an all-hands-on-deck approach so that we can help our clients navigate and take advantage of these changes, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And when you say it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, you have been saying that all along. I mean, throughout. And we have multiple videos in our on-demand library, and you and I have done a number of them. About the origin story of all this, where right. All of this came. But as we look forward into summer, into the summer months, and then on into the fall, as we track, we'll end up eventually tracking 12 months.
Yep.
The first hurdle was 3, right? I guess the first hurdle was 1 month.
Yeah.
But then you end up with the blending, as you had described it, and then the 3. So once we have now on the back end of the 3, and we look forward, how does the world change in terms of what is to be anticipated, how we're responding to it, the pace of change?
Yep.
Changes.
It does. And while no one can predict the future for what's going to happen, what we saw in the initial data was a little bit of unexpected results because of weather events, because of natural phenomenon. When the January data came out, it reflected a number of markets that had extreme cold and extreme blizzards. We had the wildfires in Los Angeles, and so it impacted audience levels to a degree that, you know, we don't normally see. But as we look at most years and as we trend towards May, the May survey dates are the highest listened to months of the year for radio, going back, you know, decades. So we should expect that audience levels will continue to increase and peak in May. And that's why it's really important to make sure that, you know, people are keeping their finger on the pulse of what's happening in their markets with their stations competitively, but also just, you know, book over book and week over week. with their audience levels based on 3 minutes, you know, compared to where they were a year ago, which was off of a different methodology.
When the information in the 3 minute qualifier started to roll at the end of February, processing January, and then in March for looking back, and April looking back to March, erosion was a word that has been not introduced, but it certainly has been surfaced and elevated. But that's a natural occurrence.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. All media, all say television, radio, traditional media, people are splintering their times. And it may be the same content, but they're now consuming it on different platforms. So what was only exclusively consumed live over AM/FM now may be time shifted in a podcast. But we're reporting the AM/FM listening that's consumed basically that day or within a 24-hour period. That audience is declining year over year by small amounts. Actually, you know, let me say this. Radio is holding up better than really any other media. If you look at traditional media, and far better than television. So don't start crying in your you know, soup over the fact that radio audiences are slightly down year over year, and they have been for many years. That has happened for decades. But radio is really holding up well because of its content. Now that said, it is getting splintered, and your content is getting consumed in different ways. But the AM/FM piece of it, that is something you have to understand, that the base of it is going to be slightly lower, you know, year over year.
All right, let's spend a couple of minutes on getting to know you.
Oh boy!
I mean, you have spent so much time working on this project. I'm sure you're still working on your other projects. I know, because I've been in meetings on other topics for sure, but leading to the rollout, this has been it. So let's just put a pause in that for a second. So we get a chance to get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
How in the world did you get here? How did you, I mean, and again, your path that led you to this time, being in this spot where you've actually been able to significantly impact radio through your leadership?
Well, not to bore the audience with my full past, but the quick story is I started in radio out of college. I was a national rep for InterRep at the time. And I didn't do that well selling with just numbers, because it kind of bothered me that it was transactional. Oddly enough, to be in the role I'm in now, I liked selling on concept. And the value of my audience, the value of what I was doing with my on-air talent to endorse products, but it still came down to cost per point, and it frustrated me. So what do? I go work for the measurement company. That makes complete sense. But I felt like I could help people, because I did have a good sense of the numbers and how to talk to audience in those numbers, and help sellers with that. So I went to go work for Arbitron at the time, and I was a trainer. I've come up through Arbitron, Nielsen in various roles, largely in client service, sales, now I'm fortunate enough to be in a role where I get to lead the organization and make some of the changes that I think are long overdue, and help move the industry forward with those changes. It's an incredible honor to do that, and I take that very seriously. But I'm really glad that we can make these advances both in the measurement, but then and also how the data is going to show up. So we'll talk about that maybe later in terms of mixed modeling and some of the other initiatives that we have in place. But just a love of broadcasting and a love of media. I've always been a student of media since I was in high school. I was one of those kids who used to stay up late consuming media and television, radio. I was lucky enough to have a TV in my room. So, you know, probably was watching it far later than my parents thought I was, but always loved media, and so I'm really fortunate that I get to be in a place that I can transact and interact with really market movers and makers, have an influence on, you know, where the future of media is going.
Has there been something that surprised you in this process since last summer?
About the data, maybe not so much. I think if I had to do something differently, we would have talked more about that year-over-year difference, that radio is having some attrition, just to set the table that if you see 13% increases now, it's really the equivalent of a 20% increase, because the baseline has been declining. But in terms of other surprises, it's really gone. If there's any surprise, it was the speed with which we were able to move. And I credit my team and the others at Nielsen in the roles of responsibility to make sure that they were delivering, that there were no hiccups. We're always very cautious. We're saying, you know, we think we can do it in this time frame. The fact that we pulled it off is a testament to their commitment to do it. And so if there's one surprise overall, it's just how fast we were able to move and get this done.
So when you walked into your boss's office, and I met your boss, and you said, I have an idea. How was that received?
It was received well because they witnessed the discussion that we had not quite a year ago with the Audio Alliance in the room. And he saw buyers and sellers come together around a concept. The buyers were as interested in seeing the true audience for radio and the higher audience for radio as the broadcasters are. And so when he saw that both sides were on board, he said, okay, let's make this happen. And I think we made the effective case that the radio has been in this realm effectively undercounted. And so to make the improvement to help radio show up, we were behind that. You know, I really hate the fact that so many people in the industry have to be subject to the headlines and the bad news day after day, and you know, are met with questions around, well, does anybody still listen to radio? And they've got reams and reams of data to back up that radio is still the most pervasive and most popular medium out there. But yet it's this underlying narrative that is there. If we can give them something that helps put some wind in their sails, then, you know, why not? We should absolutely be doing that.
Yeah. You know, radio does not have an audience problem.
No, it doesn't.
You know, and we have had a number of programs that we've put forward. We had some panels at NAB on that issue. You know, we've used Gordon as an example. Gordon Burrell is an example of looking at some of the data compared to the other industries. And we don't have we do not have a content problem in terms of a consumption problem.
Right.
What we have is an investment challenge, and we have some misrepresentation, and
yeah. So to that end, the investment challenge, and getting on the right systems and tools to show what radio can deliver and where its content is being consumed. That's why we're really excited about what we're doing with the podcasting space and what we're doing with advanced audiences and mixed modeling. Because there's all these scorecards out there. Everyone, you know, in local radio looks at the ranker, they look at the monthly ratings and what's going on in their world. But that what they don't perhaps see, because they're not exposed to it, is the way that marketers are looking at performance and mixed model attribution. And the way that radio traditionally has been or hasn't been flowing through those tools is something that we're tackling together as an industry, but it's really important because that can make a difference. Because when the marketer is seeing that radio's driving results and has a low cost of acquisition relative to other media, then it can drive additional investment. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity out there to make those changes and to educate the marketplace on those improved data inputs. So this was one step. Mm-hmm. We're going to show more robust audiences. But the other part of this is advocating, educating, making improvements to those tools on the back end so that radio can show up well in the marketing plan.
So when you say radio is in the second inning, when we are in the second inning of this process, it gets back to that.
It does. In terms of what's next, it's about improving radio in the mixed models, getting radio into advanced audience marketplaces. This is an entire marketplace that today radio doesn't even participate in. They're buying digital, they're buying linear television, they're buying, you know, CTV based on not adults 25-54, but based on advanced audiences, whether that's auto intenders or anything you can think of. Someone that's based off first party defined audience information. We get audio into that marketplace, then you can transact and buy radio audiences, which we know are meaningful and huge, and get those audiences valued at the way that they should be, that's additional demand for radio inventory that right now doesn't exist.
Well, I know there's a big movement. The REB is squarely on board to help in that effort, and there's a lot of work ahead on that. Okay, final question for you. What do you do to unwind?
Yeah.
I mean, all you've talked about maybe has made some of our viewers a little, wow, that's a lot. So what do you do to unwind?
Yeah, well, so for me to unwind, not much different than other people. You know, I enjoy going out with friends to, you know, go get a, you know, go to a brewery, go to drink. But what I really enjoy doing is I invest in my time into endurance sports. So I like triathlon, I like Ironman. Some people think I'm crazy for doing it, but it's part of this type 2 fun approach where I like chasing a goal. If I don't have a goal that I think is scary and worthy of my time, then I tend to, frankly, just be listless and not happy. So I'm happiest when I'm pursuing a goal, and I unwind by spending time on my bike, running, swimming, climbing in the Adirondacks on the high peaks, outdoors. That's generally my therapy.
Okay. Bike, run, or swim, what's your favorite?
Well, by the time you've swam and biked, the run is pretty horrible. Other than that, I like swimming because it's the most zen. You can't hear anything around you, and you just sort of like go in your own world, and you can think, you know, and have the whole world to yourself. So it's probably the swimming.
Swimming is the best.
Yeah.
Running's the worst.
Only because after the time you've done the other two, you're pretty
exhausted.
If
you would have run first.
Yeah, right.
You know, invert the order.
Invert the curve.
Rich, thanks for everything that you've been doing. We appreciate it. Your team has done a remarkable job.
Thank you.
We know where we're just starting, and we have a long ways to go, and there's things that we're all going to be working on, but it had to start. We had to get moving down the field, to use the sports analogy. We've been working as an industry very well together. We're going to continue to do that because we are better together. There's only one way to do this, and that's that.
I've never seen the industry come together around an initiative like this and speak with one voice as they are now. It is truly encouraging. It's exciting. And I credit you and the RIB for pulling that together. Hats off to you on this initiative to bring one voice to radio so that people are going to market educated with what they need to know and with a strategy to take advantage of it. It's probably the most exciting I've ever seen it in radio.
Got a lot of work to do there.
A lot of work, but it's good work.
It's good work,
and it's a worthy goal.
It's a worthy goal. Yeah. I love it. Rich, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike.
Rich Tunkel, and we appreciate his time. It's Radio on Main Street from the RAB.
Well, as you just heard from Rich, there is a lot of positive momentum around data measurement and attribution in radio, with Tunkel and the Nielsen team leading the way. But as Rich likes to say, we are just in the second inning of the ballgame. Stay tuned for more information from Nielsen and the RAB on future efforts. And in the meantime, please be certain to check out our rab.com/onevoice to review and download the various resources available to you free, including one sheets, social media tiles, and on-demand videos. This destination will continue to be your hub for our industry initiatives.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.